My beloved people, the Mass today is that for the feast of the precious blood of Jesus. However, the pulpit readings this morning are taken from the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Therefore, the epistle appointed to be read this morning is from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing, for unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go forth first to be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I point out the points of the bulletin this morning. You can read them pretty much. There's nothing I need to stress, except that after this Mass, we will have the usual monthly meeting of the oblates. So simply, oblates, remember, remain in church after Mass this morning. I wish also to wish all of us a good and happy 4th of July, which comes up this week. And I ask you all to please be careful, because on such a day as this, we know that accidents do happen. And let us all be very careful that nothing will happen to any of us. There will be no Sunday, the usual Sunday Vespers or benediction this afternoon, because our Father, our monks are away on mission this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today, of course, is the magnificent feast of the precious blood of Jesus. It's very difficult, perhaps, to speak in terms of the precious blood, but we simply will speak of it and see the importance of it. that so much as one drop of this blood would have been it and is sufficient to redeem the entire human race for all time. But the reason why our blessed Lord went further than just his first drop of blood when he was a tiny baby, because he wanted to show every one of us precisely what he expects of us. For we, remember, were told, learn of me. And therefore, we should, for his sake, be very willing to shed, if we have to, if need be, the last drop of our own blood. So there, so much for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, we've just read that if we are on our way to the altar with gifts, and while we're on our way to the altar should remember that we have, or that our brother has something against us, let us first leave that gift and become reconciled to our brother, to our neighbor, and then return and offer the gift, complete our giving. We have, of course, spoken on this before, and there's no need to repeat it this morning as such. It is plain and obvious that we have to make amends before we approach the altar of Jesus Christ. But like everything else that our Lord had to speak of, this particular point ramifies itself greatly and touches really upon everything that we do. In today's church, which is only partly there, things are not quite as once they were, where it was very simple for one to observe his religious obligations because the churches were almost next door to each other. This is no longer the case. And in addition to that, so much of our instruction that was presented to us in earlier days when Mass was available on a regular basis is no longer, that instruction is no longer as available today as once it was. And there is the tendency for us to come up with mistaken ideas concerning the value, the efficacy. Remember that word, efficacy. The efficacy of our gift. We have one principal concern, we should have one principal concern, and that is the salvation of our immortal soul. This comes before everything, or should come before everything. And I think sometimes that we might develop within our thinking, mistaken ideas about what we must be like in order to be properly Catholic. Last week and this week, we in our bulletin have stressed and just discussed and described, and what is a Catholic Christian. I would like very much for you to read and reread this, because it points out certain things that all of us need to keep plainly in our heads. What is a Catholic Christian? There are those of us that have come to an idea, mistaken indeed, that going to Mass, for example, is almost a presentiment of salvation. And that the more Masses that we attend, the more does that presentiment of salvation come to us. Or that perhaps attending holy benedictions whenever available, or perhaps even the numbers of rosaries that we can insert throughout our day's work or workings, or the numbers of prayers that we might say, novenas that we might make, and all such like, that all of these things accumulated should certainly be presentiments of our goodness of life and of our salvation. You've heard me use the expression passports to heaven. My beloved people, let us put one thing well in our minds, and let us learn it and keep it there. And that is this: it is not so much what I do that matters, it is what I am that matters. What a man is in his heart, so is he. Going to Mass on Sunday, we'll stay with that. Going to Mass on Sunday, please do not misunderstand me that I am downplaying the importance of going to Mass. Goodness gracious, no. Or that I am downplaying the importance of benediction, or that I am downplaying the importance of rosaries or prayers or whatever. You know better than that. Going to Mass on Sunday is an encounter. Yes, is a type of an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, God. We know that. Is that all that is required of me, to have this encounter on a weekly basis wherever we can? Is that all that is important, that I have this encounter once a week with Him, that will ensure and assure me of my sanctification? My beloved people, I'm going to say something, and you understand what I'm saying, please. Going to Mass on Sunday for me, on a regular basis even, from Sunday to Sunday, does not of necessity assure me of my salvation. Did you hear that? Did you hear it well? Going to Mass on Sunday is an encounter. I just said that. And from one Sunday to the next, I have an encounter. That's important. But that which is totally more important than that what am I like from one encounter to the other? What takes place around me from one encounter to the other? What am I in my private life? What are the things that I do in between my encounters? When I approach, hopefully, when I approach the omnipotent judge, Almighty God Himself, please believe me. He is not going to ask me how many times I've been to Mass. Again, I repeat the importance of the Mass. He is not going to ask me how many times I've attended Mass. He is not going to ask me how many rosaries have you said in life. He's not going to ask me how many novenas I have made, or how many prayers I have said, or anything else that's religious. He is not going to ask me those questions. Then what is he going to ask me? Because we've all always heard prayer, rosaries, benedictions, litanies, attending Mass, etc., etc., etc. Are those to be disregarded? Of course not, and you know it. What is he going to ask me? He's going to ask me the very simple and awesome and terrifying question. Only one. Did you love me? And what does that love imply? That love implies absolutely and touches upon absolutely every breath I take from one encounter to the next. What am I like? Some time ago, my beloved people, oftentimes people come to confession. Now, goodness gracious, I am not advocating, as some people might try to do, having a laundry list of sins, and they come with paper and pencil in the confessional. I'm not necessarily advocating that. I'm advocating a normal way of looking upon those things. But what is it? Because people sometimes say, I have committed no sins this week. I have been to Mass. I've done my work. I've not done this thing or that thing. I really, Father, I really can't think of anything that I have done this week that I should bring to you in confession. Now, beloved people, I have heard confessions, not that many, because I've never had the opportunity, but I've heard my share of confessions, though, for a long time. And there are people who really think that from one encounter to the next, there is not much that can be said about their love for God. That's wonderful. But isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that the saints of heaven, the truly great saints of heaven, have got a dreadful amount of condemnation for self? Have you not read the lives of saints? Their one preoccupation is, am I worthy of heaven? Am I worthy of Almighty God? And they are constantly concerned. What does King David himself have to say in his Psalm 50? My sin is always before me. From one encounter to the next, my beloved people, that is what is important. What am I like in the privacy of my life as I walk down the streets of the world? What am I like? What have I been like throughout my life? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I have done, however, what I have been like as I've walked down the streets of the world in my life. That is not important if, my beloved people, if I am aware of what I have done and that me, that I have to do something to indicate to my Creator my profound compunction. And profound compunction presupposes that there is a turning around in my life. We hear and hear so often that one word, conversio, turning. We've walked away from Eden. Now we have to turn around, point blank, and head back toward Eden. And that demands an absolute honesty with ourselves. I am not worthy. Do we not say this at Mass every time we're there? Oh Lord, I am not worthy. What do we mean by that? Or is that just so much language, so much throwing about of words? What do we mean? I am not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to step up that platform. I'm not worthy to touch that altar. I am not worthy, but even as a priest, that I reach up into heaven every time I say Mass, literally. I reach up into heaven. I reach into the very vaults of heaven every time I say Mass. And literally, I take Jesus Christ with my own two hands and put him on the altar. And you, my dearest people, you are not worthy. When you step up to this altar communion rail and have that same priest take but a piece of that flesh, and that you all of a sudden become a tabernacle, you are not worthy for this or of this. You know that. But yet we're here. Today we have put this aside, it seems, and we do not think so much about the worthiness or unworthiness of whatever. And we have in so many cases we have picked out things to argue about, things to prove, and consider those things as living the Catholic life. Not so. And I say that with all the emphasis that I can dig up. And may I bring this to attention, and some of you might know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not. You can ask me privately, perhaps. It is just this argumentation that we consider as being Catholic, that just within the past 10 days, within the past 2 weeks, this argumentation has taken a community of nuns, traditional nuns, and cut it in two, and sent half of them away. We are not here to argue. We are not here to debate. We know where the law is, but we have to be humble enough to accept that law in its entirety. And it is the observance of that law between one encounter and the next that matters, not the encounter itself as such. And we have to take that law and live it and accept it in our hearts that it is the truth, and that nobody, regardless of station in life, has the authority or the power to change that law. Nobody, ever. So it is the encounter that we must attend to if we want that which we come to see and witness when we come to accept the holy body of Christ into our hearts. That is all that matters. And all this other stuff, it must be expelled from our way of life. Believe me, my dear people, believe me. Because we would be mistaken, sadly so, if this were not held in our hearts. So this morning, as we look upon leaving our gift at the foot of the altar and go first and take care of our business, this is what we have to do. God doesn't need my gift. I did not hang the moon up in the heavens. I do not make the sun to shine. Neither did you. God does not need my feeble, worthless efforts to carry out the work of his creation. And you know it. What he wants is not what I can do. What he wants of me is what I am. Nothing else will do. He wants me, not what I can do. Dearest people, I don't know if I've repeated this to you, said this to you before. If I have, forgive me for repeating it. But our good Holy Father Pope Pius XII made a statement once that the world today, the people of the world today, are in worse condition than they were in at the time of Noah. This is a terrible statement. And here we go running about like a bunch of chickens and talking about things that have nothing to do with my turning around. Argument is not going to turn me around. Debate is not going to turn me around. Instruction is not going to turn me around. Then what will turn me around? The grace of God that will be given to me as I humbly try to proceed up the steps, 1, 2, 3, of that mountain which leads to heaven. I have to do that. And I have to believe. Remember, at any encounter that our Lord had, or that people had with our Lord, when the poor little lady, the poor little woman, or the poor blind man, or the poor lame man, or whoever, and they approached him, did he give them an examination? Do you believe in this? Do you accept that? Do you do that? Blah, 1, 2, 3, 4. As we sometimes are tempted to do. What did our Lord say? Simple question. He simply asked, do you believe? They didn't know what to believe in. They had no instruction. They had not the books to read. He simply said, do you believe? And the only answer given was, yes, Lord, I do believe. Right away. Right away, be thou made whole. Thy faith has saved thee.